It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello, and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue. Alongside of me is the world famous Pot Brothers at Law and Mr. Joe Grande. You are now tuned in to the greatest cannabis show on the planet. What's up, Joe?
Yes, you are, you guys. And I just want to still wish everybody a happy new year. 2022 is here. And you know what? I'm feeling great. I hope you are too. Thank you guys for all listening to the podcast, Cannabis Talk 101, all around the world. We greatly appreciate you. Make sure you check out our website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And call us up anytime.
1-800-420-1980. You're supposed to do that part, Joe.
Blue, I don't know if you're going to be a part of this or you're not going to be a part of this.
You were saying one. You always say 1-800-420, and then I say 1980. So who fucked up near you?
You know what? Welcome to the show, Joe. Geez, it's a new year, and you're still making
mistakes. Yeah, buddy.
Call us up anytime.
Throw me under the bus.
Call us up anytime. 1-800-420-1980. And make sure you check out our Instagram pages for daily news and learn the script and so much more at Cannabis Talk 101 at @pot_brothers_@_law. Mark is at Wass Law. Craig is at Wass Law Dog. Blue is at one Christopher Wright. And my main man, Elvis Medina, our producer, is at Radio Elvis.
Radio underscore Elvis.
Radio underscore.
Yeah, I've given that to you like 20 times.
But I do it from my other's computer, and I didn't have
like others.
You know what? Same mistakes again. It's a new year, making the same mistakes. And I am at Joe Grande 52. Something that's not making a mistake is if you're looking for a high quality seed and you want to grow your own cannabis, well, head to rocketseeds.com. They're on Instagram @rocket_seeds for trusted cannabis seeds. It's the spot right there, you guys. Thousands of seeds you can buy right there at a fair price. Head to rocketseeds.com. All that being said, I'm very excited because today we have on the show a very special guest. Not only is he a special guest, you guys, but let me give you some of these big things about Zeta. He is the founder and the CEO of Green Rush Consulting. You can check out their website, greenrushconsulting.com, a national cannabis consulting firm, as well as a veteran cannabis industry entrepreneur with over 26 years experience in the field. Zeta has spent most of his life providing high quality and creative strategic support to support the most well-known brands throughout the state of California and the whole United States of America, for God's sakes.
Yes.
He and his team have secured over 100 cannabis business licenses across 14 states and two countries, as well as helped thousands of other businesses in cannabis space through business planning, capital raising, and strategic advice. Thank you so much, Zeta, for coming on the show with us. And I appreciate you very much.
Joe, thank you so much. It's a pleasure being on the show. I'm looking forward to this and happy new year, buddy.
Well, happy new year to you too. Now it's funny because, full disclosure, I met you through a woman that you were dating at the time. And it's just funny how, you know, we stayed friends. I'm still friends with her. You guys aren't friends. Elvis isn't her friend anymore, but I'm still her friend. Blue's not her friend anymore, but I'm still friends with everyone. I'm just pointing.
Wait a minute, Joe. Dude, she's my friend.
Oh, you're still her friend? Oh, I thought you weren't her friend.
No, Joe, no, we're still friends.
I'm just simply saying, too.
Okay, cool.
No, you're not, dude. Stop it. You all the stuff you just said offline about her, dude, you're definitely not friends.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Joe. I love her. We have a great time. There was just a time where he got a little uncomfortable and she was a little mad at me, but
it happens with business. You know, hey, it's funny that she had some heat on Blue, but whatever. All that being said,
a couple weeks.
We met a while back, and then I introduced you to Elvis, and now you and Elvis are doing business together, which is awesome. And, you know, and it's a great marriage, in my opinion, because I've known Elvis for 30 plus years, it seems, or I don't know how long, 25 years, for God's sakes, whatever.
Since 94, you do the friggin' math.
Exactly. Since 94, we've been knowing each other. So that being said, it's great that I feel, Zeta, you are in the inner circle with us, even though we don't see each other on a daily basis.
About the time you've met him like 12 times, Zeta, but you still don't know who he is.
Hold on a second, Blue. I don't know if Blue knows the story. So I can tell Blue the story and the audience can listen in. So Blue, you'll know exactly the scenario. So we met at, you know, G4 Live. First off, let's go back to G4 Live, you know, way back years ago. Then we meet again. Let's go to MJ BizCon early in the day. come to the fucking biggest booth at MJ BizCon. He's, hey, Joe, great booth, great everything, right? Here's Joe Grande on stage. Hey, it's me, Zeta. I don't know if you know me from Green Rush. Yeah, cool. Nice to meet you, Zeta. Good to see you again. Bottom line, Blue. Hey, I'll see you at the after party. Yes, he comes to the Hustler.
Right.
Didn't let him in.
I walk right up to him, Blue. I walk right up to him before I can say, hey, what's up? He reaches his hand out and he goes, hey, how you doing? I'm Zeta.
Nice to meet you.
Pleased to meet you.
Again.
And I go, are you fucking kidding me, Zeta?
Oh, my God.
It's me, Joe.
He's Joe blind, Joe. Blow. He's blind.
And then he goes, dude, I couldn't tell it was you with the cowboy hat. I'm like, you couldn't tell it was me, a 250-pound Mexican guy? That's the same-looking dude. So anyhow, I've been busting his balls ever since.
And Joe, you did a wardrobe change, buddy. You did a wardrobe change.
You know, it's I did do a wardrobe change.
I'll give him that.
I will give him that, but I won't not stop busting his balls for that. But that all being said, Zeta, the crowd knows and people know that we love each other. We're friends. Yes. But I don't know your whole story. And that's what I want the audience to know, because I'm reading things on you. I mean, I see you've been appointed as an advisor on the board of the George Floyd Foundation, which I want to get into. Sure. But I want to go back. I want to start on the early Zeta days. Where did you grow up and how did you get involved in cannabis?
Well, actually, okay, I can... For sure. So I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, originally. I grew my first cannabis plant when I was 14 years old. I'm 44 now. So it's been about 30 years since I actually had my first interaction with cannabis. I'm also a musician, too. I've been playing drums for like 25 years. And originally, I came out to California specifically, even though I was growing back east illegally. I ended up coming out to California to pursue a music career, really.
And what year?
What's that?
In what year?
This was in 2001.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I came out to California and, you know, just really, you know, in a pursuit of a music career, but landed in the cannabis industry because I already knew how to grow. I had a green thumb and, you know, was doing that for a while, working in the unregulated market all the way up to a point where I was managing a 400 light garden in Oakland, California. There was a point in
Bay
which,
Area, huh? Okay.
Yes, all Bay Area.
Oh, dope.
All Bay Area. You know, so I was very much exposed to the culture, you know, and very much exposed to that, you know, underground side of things. And at some point, I would just decided it was just way too risky, you know, doing this. And this was probably, I think, around like 2006, 2007, when I decided to stop doing that and moved into just consulting for other gardens, right? I did have a quick stint in with a company called Cannabis Club Network, which was offering online.
Love those guys. That's my dude over there. You know, he's working with Tommy Chong, that same guy. Yeah, they're good people. Go ahead,
though. Yeah, and so they were selling online advertising to doctors, lawyers, and dispensaries. This is when Weed Maps wasn't even existing, right? And or maybe they were just their top competitor. So I learned a lot about like that side of the industry. I was very, very, you know, interested in that. Unfortunately, you know, it wasn't paying well enough. And I was living in Oakland. I was commuting to San Francisco for this. Now, again, we were like four blocks down from Twitter when it first was starting to blow up.
Wow.
And, you know, I decided to just stop that. And I had this experience and skill in SEO. I had this experience and skill in, you know, other skill sets besides just growing, right? And so I managed to land this other opportunity with this company called, originally was called iGrow. It ended up moving into WeGrow. It was the largest, quote unquote, hydroponic store in the country that was actually catering to marijuana growers, right?
Right.
And so my two bosses at the time, they didn't know shit about cannabis. I was the only guy that knew anything about cannabis, but they're very politically connected, or at least one of them was in the city of Oakland. And so he decided to change the title of the headline of the story that was going in the San Francisco Chronicle on the opening day of this store, right? So he changed it from hydroponic superstore opens up in East Oakland to marijuana superstore opens up in East Oakland. Okay. You got to think, this is in 2009, 2010, right, guys? But I mean, we've gone light speed up into where we're at now, but this was back then and it really wasn't happening. I mean, Colorado wasn't legal. None of this stuff was happening. So it hit all these headlines. I show up at work, you know, just because I hadn't spent the night, you know, the time there just, you know, working on everything, getting everything prepped. But we show up and CNN is there. Time Live magazine is there. There's a helicopters flying everywhere. There's like all this, you know, incredible reporters there ready to cover the story. You know, CNN with this huge satellite dish, everything. And so, of course, I had to take that on because I was the only person that knew anything about cannabis in this organization, right? So that was kind of like my first stint inside of like being in the public light at a very, you know, early stage in my career. And from that point, it's sort of like snowballed. Now, again, like you can see hydroponic stores all across the country now, you know, allowing, you know, they're all allowing this. Whereas before we had like Sunlight Supply and Hydro Farm, all of them were cutting our accounts like crazy.
No way.
Right? So it was a pretty wild time. You know, and of course that business model didn't last a long time, but I did get to experience a lot of great things within that. Like, for instance, I don't know if you ever heard of the mobile grow trailers. They're like 40 or 53 foot semi-trailer trucks where we built grow rooms in them. You know, we were showcasing those. Nowadays you have like a bunch of spinoffs, like this shipping containers and different things like that. I was the first designer of those grow trailers. So I was helping, a guy named Derek Pearson and TerraTech build those back in the day. And of course, you know, like I said, there was just a lot, it just, you know, and the business model ended up fizzing out. And instead what happened is Oakland was going to adopt these four large cultivation centers, the first of its kind in the nation. I don't know if you guys remember that. This was in the summer of 2010. I was sitting with a bunch of Fortune 100 and 500 executives teaching about the supply chain process, meaning that, okay, it starts with seeds. Then you get your mothers. Then you take your clones and you just cook. They didn't have any idea about any of this. So I was teaching them how to, you know, how this process works and where each person's positions were, whether it's supply chain tracking, whether it's security, whatever it may be. It was a really interesting time. But right after that, it's almost like I inadvertently created one of the first RFPs for the nation in terms of how do you license these types of facilities? Now, the federal government shut that down. They're like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, even though we had created the ordinance and, you know, crafted the RFP, because it was also kind of hitting headlines, you know, across the news.
Right.
And so since the federal government shut that program down, we started having other states like New Jersey, Colorado, Arizona come to us and say, hey, how did you guys do this? And so from that point, it really started where we've created one of the first consulting companies out there really kind of doing this. And that was dispensarypermits.com. That was one of the first companies that had, you know, helped start to do this. And so we went over to New Jersey. We won one of the six first alternative treatment center licenses over there. I helped win that license. Went to Arizona on the first process when they were doing a lottery process out of the beginning, when several licenses there. Then Massachusetts hit, and I decided to break away and start Green Rush Consulting in 2011. And so from that point, we've just gone all across the nation doing the same thing and helping win licenses. Now, all that knowledge that I gathered in my earlier career, like when it comes to SEO and these different things, helped me build my own business from the ground up. I started my business with $700 in my pocket and literally built the website, built everything, and started just driving tons of traffic because I knew a lot about SEO. So, you know, with that said, I went to Illinois and Nevada. Those were the first states that came out because they're kind of happening at the same time. We opened up the first dispensary in the history of the state of Illinois, won that license. We ended up helping, you know, win 9 licenses in the state of Nevada on the first round, helping a lot of groups, support them with consulting and what have you. We got several in Oregon. And then from that point, I went over to, you know, Connecticut. We went to Delaware. We went, I got 8 licenses in Maryland. We ended up getting 62 processing licenses there. I helped one of the licenses back in 2014 win in Florida. They ended up selling it for like $40 million.
Wow.
Really going all around the country and helping these folks as best as we can, you know, open these successful businesses, but primarily winning licenses, because without license, doing anything, right? And from that point, we obviously were located in Oakland for a very long time. Legalization in California didn't happen. And we created what's called First Friday events over it in Oakland in Lake Merritt.
I remember hearing about those.
Yeah. Those were our parties, right? So we started that. It started with like 40 people or 10 people actually, and then 40 people, and then went to like 100, 150 people at one time. East Bay Canna was our Facebook page, and it grew to like 4,000 members. It was huge. But it was pre-legalization. It was really awesome because, you know, you can feel the sense of freedom of bringing the community together, getting people to just have these conversations, right? You know, about like the freedom of the planet and how do we like responsibly move this forward? And everybody's, you know, obviously smoking. We had sponsors, Harborside sponsored it, all kinds of folks sponsored it.
But it was familiar really with Harborside. Who are they again?
What's that?
I'm not familiar with Harborside. Who are they again? Listening around the world, Harborside is the largest dispensary in the Bay Area and the first one in Oakland, and they just kick ass. They're major.
Yeah, they were the biggest they are still the largest, like by square foot.
Yeah.
You know, and we can get into some action that's happening over there later, but to continue the story, we thought that was a really important thing to do to bring that community together. Because what happened, Joe, is that we ended up facilitating the first conversations around social equity, you know, because obviously Oakland's a predominantly African-American community. You know, and we were bringing all these people together and these operators, and so many people for free got to the ability to not only find job opportunities, have these conversations safely. And then next thing you know, obviously legalization happened in January 2017 is when the first social equity program was born in the entire United States. Right. And so that is just amazing. You know, I mean, like totally, you know, giving gifts to humanity like that was just an amazing experience for me. I got to, you know, meet people like Dennis Perrone, who helped start the industry. You know, that also, you know, kind of, you know, sort of, you know, gave us a start of what we were doing. Obviously, Oakland University, all these different folks that really built the industry for us. You know, we were all working with, and we still do to this day. You know, by the end of the day, we have to expand this nationally. Now, obviously, Colorado going legal, all these different things are happening all across the United States. And so for our company right now, we're moving from just a boutique consulting company to launching a tech platform to scale and really kind of aggregate the same kind of model where we can help folks, you know, come together and find opportunities, bridging access between entrepreneurs and experts. So that's kind of where we're at now. Hopefully it gives you a good snapshot of work.
Well, not only that was a great snapshot of what you've done, and I want to talk about what you're doing now as you're the CEO of Green Rush Revolution. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. Joe Grande, you know, I just want to say something. I have never had someone just talk through the whole segment.
and now, here's what's funny, Blue, is I had
a feeling. Good stuff.
It was good. It was super legit.
Thanks, and not only super legit, but I had a gut feeling because I've watched his interviews and I've heard from Elvis. Now, Elvis doesn't give anybody props. Elvis is the biggest asshole that's out there.
No, I'm not.
I say Elvis is the biggest asshole out there with respect because he does not give a monkey a banana. If he just does not give anybody like the prop of this dude's good, that good. He just, that dude's horrible. This person's horrible. And I say that because Elvis and I have done radio for a long time. And Elvis has done morning radio in New York, and he's a fucking pro, and he could do anything and everything. And so that being said, Elvis will talk to me and him uncandid. And when we say it uncandid to each other, like,
that guy's terrible. What a waste of flesh and bone.
So my point is, when somebody's good, for Elvis to say Zeta's good, like for him to tell me that Zeta's good, and for me to already feel that, like I'm already thinking in my head Zeta's good from the jump when I met him. Then, Blue, you and I have watched some interviews with Zeta, and we both were like, wow, this dude's dope, right? Like,
thanks, man. I appreciate
like,
that.
I showed Blue because I was like, look at this guy, Zeta. I want to get him on, A, the show. B, I want to do more things with him because I love what Green Rush Revolution is doing. And so I started pimping out, showing, because I know, Zeta, you're working with Elvis. Elvis is our producer. Elvis is my boy forever. You guys are doing ventures. It all goes in a full circle of helping each other because it's pushing that green envelope forward, right?
For like, sure, man. It's all about
doing the Green Rush. We're all doing that. And there's room for us. And there's room for people like you to be a part with us, for us to be a part with you. So, Blue, I agree with you, dog. I was like sitting there and I was sitting back.
I thought it was going to last longer. I thought I was going to give you a space.
No, that's what your ex-girlfriend said too about you, but we'll go on to the next one.
Right. Ex-girlfriend.
Hairless half inch. Yeah.
That being said, Zeta, you know, you're the founder now and the CEO of Green Rush Revolution. The website's greenrushrevolution.com, a brand solely focused on providing a platform that creates access between the cannabis entrepreneur and experts with an ecosystem of industry, business, culture, and education. The focus of this company is to bring awareness, basically, and education to entrepreneurs through in-depth, high-quality digital media content and a delivery system. Talk about how you came up with that and what you guys exactly do with this.
Well, it's kind of funny. You know, well, I've always, you know, felt like as a consulting firm that I didn't want to be pigeonholed just in consulting, right? You know, and when you're looking as a business owner, how do you scale? The brand name change helped us do that, right? In terms of like running to it. And you know what, Joe, this is a revolution. It started as a revolution. It's going to end as a revolution, right? So that made a lot of sense. Now, since we're bringing up my ex-girlfriend so much, you know, she helped me point that out in my domain list. So it was like, here's my domain list. And she was like, hey, that's a good name, right? And so this is kind of where it sort of evolved. So I have to give her credit, you know, for for making me aware of that. But as I started, like, you know, really investigating it, I was like, man, this is exactly, you know, blooming to life and exactly what I was looking for. Right. And I think that, you know, what it encompasses is exactly that. It's all about collaboration. You know, so our three values are collaboration, unity, and prosperity. That's CUP, buddy. So we need to all work together in order to foster this and then move it to the next level. And also on top of that, look, there's too much demand and not enough experts. I mean, you can put all the experts on the same team, every single one of them, every single lawyer, every single consultant, anybody that's a subject matter expert, and it still can't serve this demand, okay? There's so much abundance and demand, and so many people wanting to try to get into this space that I think it's important to have a platform or an ecosystem in which we can actually allow these people to find and access these opportunities. And that's one of the most important things to this platform that we're developing with Green Rush Revolution. And it starts with education.
And that's the key with everything. That's what I like about our show as well, is we like to educate the audience of different things out there, people out there, products out there that you may not know, and everything that you guys are doing. And even watching you do your interviews with these different people and with your background and knowledge, it's going to be key for doing things and moving forward. As I mentioned to Elvis, and I don't know if Ruby mentioned it to you, Zeta, on the phone, but you know, I would love for you to go out and interview people for us as well, if we can't be there, because I believe you're that good in your knowledge. Like I said, you started this in 2001, coming out to California and growing.
Whoa, Joe. Let's not give him a job today.
Well, hey, Blue, don't get it twisted. I wouldn't say a job. I would say let's give him a mic and see what he does with it and where he puts it. And hopefully it's in somebody's face.
An internship.
Get him an internship. Can he get college credit? Give him college credit.
Jesus.
We can go back.
And then Zeta, let's go back to the experts in the industry real quick, because, you know, it's funny when I hear people say there's, you know, the experts, and I'm not talking about you. I'm just joshing with you. But, you know, it's yet to see who the real experts are. Exactly. In my opinion, you know, this industry has a you know, self-proclaimed experts, and the facts are, you know, are facts. And so when we look at the monster MSOs and the companies that are really producing some kind of quality product and actually delivering without stepping in the mud and creating all kinds of lawsuits and everything else, you have to really refer back to is who's the guys doing for 20 years that really are the experts and that have the track record, and it's yet to be really discovered, in my opinion. You know, and that's only because, you know, that comes from somebody that used to think he was a master grower, that thought he had the best, that quite frankly sold the number one dispensary in Los Angeles for 3 years in a row. And I personally don't take any credit for it, but it was my license, you know? And so, you know, and when we go through that and we have those conversations and I look at real people's records, you know, we've got a long way before we start really calling people experts in this industry, because it's still, you know, it's freshman year, you know, it's juniors, you know, we got some sophomores and juniors, but we definitely, in my opinion, have seniors in the industry, but yet to operate as a licensed facility, you know, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. And I can agree with that, Joe, because there's a lot of charlatans. There's a lot of
That was Blue.
Whatever. Yeah. Once again, he doesn't even know who he's talking to, Blue. So, you know, I mean, that's why
I said internship. Internship.
Yeah. We'll start with an internship application first off.
And you don't get a parking space either.
I got to get used to you guys' voices. Okay. So, look, I told you.
No problem, Alex.
Yeah.
Totally agree with that. You know, and I've seen my fair share. And quite frankly, like, there's a lot of times where they give us a bad name, man. You know, I get things like, you know, a lot of clients that come to us where they're like, yes, our consultant like completely failed out on us. We got a terrible work from them, or didn't work out. They hire us and we look at it all and we got to rewrite the whole entire thing, right? You know, there's other folks who claim, like you said, as master growers, and they don't know what scale means, right? Or don't even know how to scale. Right. And so it's really important to get that quality control down. And that is something that's absolutely lacking in this industry, is what's called integrity, you know? And I think that, you know, what we can see going forward, especially with our platform, is we're going to be doing those quality control checks. I mean, even in my interviews, you know, I plan on really checking people, man, just to make sure that they are who they say they are. At least they have the knowledge and talent that they say they do. Because I think that's really important to bring this realness to the puzzle, because otherwise it's just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, man. There's a lot of money at stake, too.
It really is. And we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back. I'm going to put you on the spot with something. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, sit back, and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers in Law, and the world famous Joe Grande. Joe, you said you were going to put Zeta on the spot, man.
I'm just excited to hear about it, guys.
Bring it.
You ready for this? First off, it's funny because everything you just said really got me thinking. And not only that you said you're going to test people, and since you were appointed as an advisor to the board of the George Floyd Foundation and focusing on supporting social equity applications in the cannabis space, as well as being one of the first to receive a diversity championship award in 2019 from the Minorities of Medical Marijuana, which is m4mm.com, the website, I look at you as being down with us. And I don't know, Zeta, what the last name, Setti, what is your, are you Italian? What is Setti?
No, I mean, like, my name is, you know, well, I can look at it as sort of like, it's not my birth name, okay? I ended up, you know, changing my name because I had found, I guess, you know, my brand, my spiritual brand, really. You know, and the story behind it is that when I left Virginia to come out in pursuit of a music career, this name Zeta just came to me all my travels over, right? And I wanted to just really kind of go through this transformation. What I found out later, I was dating this singer-songwriter in Northern California. Like two
what's
years
his
later,
name?
I was here. Her name was Allie Weiss.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
And so she, you know, was like, you know, like all women do, they'll go through and really look through, hey, look at our horoscopes and, you know, are we compatible, right? So we're in the bookstore. She's looking at our horoscopes. She just opened up this book. She was like, hey, Zeta, here's your birth date, right? So she looked at my birth date. And so some people have birth stars, some people don't in astrology. And so mine was named Zeta Setti, and that's how I got my last name. So I ended up legally changing my name to that and just going under this brand. And ever since then, it's just like kind of like I found myself. Joe.
Well, I didn't know this was going to be such a long-winded thing before I can even get to my point, but that's awesome.
Well,
that's
great before story. You do, Zeta, was your real name Chad or Alan?
No comment.
That being said, can we get the real first, what the real name was?
It's an Alan.
It was Alan?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like that. I don't know where you pulled that out of your ass, Blue. Okay, so that all being said, I love the fact that you are who you are. And I love the fact that, you know, you helped with the George Floyd Foundation. I love the fact that you're doing all these things for minorities. You're also done things for women at UC Santa Barbara. And you're an advisor on the board there that you were handpicked for. And as you just said, you're going to challenge people.
Yes.
I want you... This is why I said I'm going to challenge you and put you on the spot to challenge these owners that you speak to and these CEOs to make sure that their diversity is what they say they are. Because I've been getting a lot of inside information from a lot of these companies and people that know these companies that aren't doing what they say they're doing for the minority from the minority aspect. So they claim they are, but they're not doing to the extent that they say they are. So as you've done so much for the minorities and you say you want to help and push the envelope with people, that's something I would hope, because coming from a gentleman like yourself, I think you can get away with it more and maybe a little easier and not look like, oh, what the fuck is this? You know, I do it, Blue do it. It's like, oh, look at these fucking Mexicans always complaining, blah, blah, blah. Somebody like you does it. It's a little different. Like, hey, you know, I've been a part of this board and that board and this board, and I'm wondering what you guys are doing with the, you know, advice on supporting social equity, because I've been helping social equity applicants for such and such time. So I'm really pushing the envelope for you to do that, brother. And I hope you take that and run with it, because we need people out there as well as we do. You know, me and Blue constantly fight. So does Mark and Craig Wasserman. We're constantly fighting for the minority. And if you're out there interviewing, as you say, you want to go interview and push that envelope, I encourage you to push that envelope in that manner as well.
Yeah, and I'm continuing to do that to this day. You know, I mean, not only just like checking people on that, but also bringing resources in case they don't, because, you know, may or might not do that, but may or may not have access to or aware of what's out there to support them in this, right? So I think it's a combination of those two things. I mean, obviously checking them, but also bringing the resources and support to them, so to ensure that they will do it, right? You know, and as we see all these states kind of bring all these different types of programs online, you know, we need these folks that are, especially folks that are coming just directly out of prison and reentry programs. Right. These folks need education and they need support, right? I mean, we're looking at things like, okay, how do we partner state governments with academic institutions, right? Like real universities to provide that education and support for people for reentry programs and, you know, things like that, right? Just really kind of helping folks with these opportunities. It's really kind of unfortunate what you see out there where they're almost being used as pawns in license application processes, you know, like because they have the status of being minority or formerly incarcerated or living in a specific zip code or however you want to look at it, right? And then they're positioned by big money to you know, have that position, but really behind the scenes, intrinsically operating, that's not what's happening, right? So it's a really sad thing to see, and we really need to reform that.
Yes, and I hope we do. And that being said, it's now one of the fun times of the show where we like to do the high five with a lot of our guests. And we're going to hear a lot more from Zeta down the line, hanging out with us, doing shows with us, and being a part of Cannabis Talk 101 and just doing things together. But now we're going to ask you five questions, Zeta, that we can't wait to hear the answers to. Question okay. number one of the high five with Senior Zeta Seti, which is the greatest last name ever now that he just found it on a fucking card, a churu card.
Tarot.
Wow. Seti, where'd you find that at? And what, a card in my desk? But either way, the CEO and founder of Green Rush Consulting and CEO founder of Green Rush Revolution. Question number one of the high five. How old were you the first time you smoked cannabis and where'd you get it from?
I was probably 13 years old. And I got it from my best friend, and I didn't even know the difference when I got high.
Really?
Nope.
Meaning you were just sitting there and
I was just sitting there like, didn't even know the difference, man.
Just stuck.
Probably like, swag weed too, by the way.
Oh, that's always fun. Where were you guys at?
Virginia Beach.
Oh, cool. Cool. Question number two of the high five. What is your favorite way to use cannabis?
Bong hits.
Really?
Yeah, old school.
Bong hits.
Is there a certain bong you like?
Glass bongs with ice in it. Bong hits.
Right.
There you go.
Nice.
Right there.
Nice. Question number three of the high five. Craziest place you've ever smoked or used cannabis?
Oh, God. Craziest place. Airplane bathroom. I think that's pretty much the craziest. I didn't get caught either.
Wow. What year was that?
I was fucking 2006.
Gotcha. Wow.
Flying back from California to Virginia.
Oh, that's always
not about that one.
Question number four, the high five. What is your go-to munchie, Zeta, after you get high?
Go-to munchies. Chocolate.
Chocolate. Milk, okay.
Or dark?
Dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate.
Nice. What kind of chocolate though? Like just straight chocolate or like an M&M?
Like M&M's. Yeah, M&M's are good. Just anything chocolate or sweet typically.
That's all.
Question number five of the high five. If you could smoke cannabis with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be, Zeta?
Jim Morrison.
Ooh, good one.
Why? I love Morrison, by the way, but just
I don't know. I don't know. It just came to mind. He's an amazing artist, amazing visionary.
Yeah. Alexis, what a poet. You know. Yeah.
Good old Morrison.
I mean, being a musician as well, from your standpoint, that would have been a deep one, right? You're like, oh my God, I'm actually smoking with Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see that. That'd be dope.
And speaking of musician, what did you play? Did you sing or?
You know, I'm a drummer. I've been playing drums for 25 years, but I could also play guitar. I can play bass. I can't sing worth shit though.
Mm. Is there anything you did with a group that we know of, or were you just like cover bands, or did you do anything big?
No, I didn't ever really got anything big out of it. I did play a lot of shows back east. I did do a pretty good amount of touring. Our band was called The Odyssey.
No way, you guys were The Odyssey?
Not like that band.
Wow.
They're my favorite.
ODD, it's spelled ODDYSEE. So we were like a rock psychedelic kind of tribal band, Burning Man-esque kind of style. And then we did some shows out here, in San Francisco and just, you know, the Bay Area circuit. But then,
wait a minute. Did you guys have like a purple and pinkish logo?
No.
No, okay, good.
No, it wouldn't be anything that you really know, Joe.
I'll just freestyle now.
You never know. That was Blue, by the way, again. I'm glad you said Joe, but, you know, it's all good.
Hey, I'm going to introduce you guys soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, you actually have a Zoom on with me, and you can see I'm not a ventriloquist. I don't, like, talk out of, like, my ear. So if you're looking at me, this is me talking now. Blue, can you say something to him so he can see I'm not talking when you say something?
That's can I get problem. A hello? Hello.
There we go. There we go. See, it doesn't switch. It doesn't switch. It stays on.
Oh, okay. Okay. Give him a break. Would you give him a break, Joe? Let it go. And you have been a good ventriloquist. You had your hand up my backside for a lot of times.
That was at Club Oz in downtown San Jose a long time ago.
And you were hey Zeta, by the way, Joe was my pot dealer back in the mid-90s.
Oh, really?
And you know what? I would, you know, I'm the on-air DJ guy, and I'm hey, yeah, can you get me a bag? And I get it, and I pay, you know, like $60. I go, this is kind of light, and it's a lot of seeds and stems. Oh, no, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. He was pinching on my bags.
I'm not surprised.
I know, exactly. I mean, totally. But him and I would get high before every show.
And he never stopped buying the weed for me. That's the best. No.
I didn't have any other connections. I didn't know any better. I thought I was getting a good deal. I thought I was deal.
This is the best weed in town. Just buy it. Shut up.
It was all seeds, stems, and all that.
Pop
no,
out of the bomb.
It was good. It was real good weed back then. Zeta, is there anything else we're missing that you want to promote on this show that's all about you right now? Because Zeta Seti, the CEO and founder of Green Rush Consulting and CEO and founder of Green Rush Revolution. We love what you're doing out there. We support it. Anything that we can do to help you, let us know. But is there anything else that you want to push out there right now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, a message to the audience is that if you're interested in getting in the cannabis industry, look, go for your dreams, take risks, you know, take calculated risks. But, you know, the time is now, right? The time is now to get in. We're more than willing to help you. GreenRushConsulting.com with all licensing and business planning and capitalization, whatever you're looking for. So really appreciate being on the show. Thank you guys so much. Look forward to doing things in the future.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.